If you'll turn over to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews this morning. Let's see here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Just hold your place there, and I'll go back and read a couple places. But glad to be back with you. We were traveling last weekend or over the weekend, and I always like taking another route and see different things. I noticed on those little back roads through South Carolina, a lot of little churches, a lot of little communities. We drove down through there, and it was on, I guess that was on Friday, and thinking about, a lot of farms, and I just think about the people, and as they gather, and, I know sometimes John, he'll mention, or others will mention, Pastor Will, somebody will, about other ones that meet and worship during the, Sunday morning hour, the evening, Wednesday, I'm sure, and we drove by those churches. I thought about that. A lot of them spread out around over this country. God's been good to us. And so this morning we'll look here at Melchizedek and just briefly. And I guess as we look at Hebrews in general as a book, you wonder who, we know, but, you think, well, who was it written to? Who was it specifically for? Of course, it's for all of us in the New Testament to read and have. But at the time, or some scholars say, well, it was written for all of us, but at the same time written really with emphasis toward Christians who were Jews, or Jews who'd been converted, I guess some would say, to Christianity, but just Jews that had been saved and was afraid they'd fall back into Judaism. And so Hebrews, some of it is, as you read it, again, trying to encourage them not to fall back into Judaism or fall back into their old ways or be kind of bullied back into that. Paul had to get on some other disciples, about Jews versus Christians and well, they're saved or they're not, and, gave examples of that, and as far as the law, being under the law and not being under the law anymore, and Paul had some things to say about that. Because if you look through the first of Hebrews, you'll see how Son of God or Jesus is superior to the angels. Talks about, of course, over in Hebrews somewhere, maybe chapter 4, chapter 3, talking about oh, greatest salvation, the whole chapter. Then, of course, Christ being superior to Moses. And it goes through. So Hebrews really is an encouragement for all of us. And again, an encouragement to the Jews who had been saved not to fall back into Judaism. Or, what they had was real. And they need to, I guess it's more of a training, but teaching and encouraging to them. So we'll look this morning at chapter 7. Before we get into that, Melchizedek, someone who the Bible's always... I guess not puzzled me, but always interested me, because he shows up in the Old Testament, appears in the New Testament, and there's very little background on him, but at the same time we know he's an important figure. Now, so really an example of Christ, and some people believe that's who in the Old Testament who appears. And I believe that, or the Holy Spirit, and just in a form or an angel that they could see. And anyway, we'll get over there and read that in just a second. Everybody's got their own opinion exactly what that is, but we all believe, I think, that he's from God and just an example of Christ Jesus to come. And that's what we see in the New Testament, and that's really what you'll see here in chapter 7, because he's one person in the Scripture besides God, and of course, Jesus Christ, but that's really in Scripture from the beginning to the end and still existent. There's no ever mention that he ever passed away or died or anything happened to him or any time that he was ever born or anything occurred. In other words, when he shows up in Genesis, he shows up again in the New Testament. He just keeps going on. And that's what you think about our Lord and Savior too, just eternity. And anyway, I spend a lot of my time on talking about things I wanted to read about. But that's why Melchizedek, I remember Sunday school when I was little, I'd always scratch my head kind of when the Sunday school teacher would talk about Melchizedek and have the little drawings or whatever. I'd always say, now I wonder who he was or where he came from. And of course, like I said, we have a better understanding now. Anyway, he's always an interesting person. Here, I'll be quiet and quit talking. But if we get you stay where you're at. I'm going to read you a few places to kind of get us back where we're at. The Jews, and of course, us too, here today in 2018, in the month of July, we appreciate our need for a high priest. Just from the prayer request we heard this morning, we know our need for having a high priest. And the Jews understood that under the law, but again, we're not under the law, and that's part of what Hebrews is telling them, is that they had a high priest, but not a man anymore. And that's what we'll look at over in the Old Testament, compare, and that Jesus is our high priest now. But he didn't just fulfill the Levitical priesthood, but Jesus did much more for us. He saved us from our sins. You know, back in the old days, Old Testament, I say the old days, Old Testament, you recall the priest could only offer up sacrifice for themselves first, then for the people. And they had to do that yearly. Well, you know, Christ, he died one time, and that was it. It fulfilled that. But he came out of that same priestly line as well. So he filled both positions. And that's what we've got in Christ. Well, Hebrews, and they mention of Melchizedek, is trying to, I guess, educate again the Jews that had been saved, and also as an encouragement to them and encouragement to us today that, hey, you've got a high priest that's even more than what they had under the law. So don't fall back into that. And I know none of us are in danger of doing that, but that's why Hebrews, at least early on, there's an encouragement to stay out of that. And you say, well, it wouldn't happen today. People know, but well, you know, you think especially someone gets saved and they start looking at reading the Scripture and they look over in the Old Testament or New Testament, or maybe somebody fill their mind with, oh, this is what you need to be doing. You don't need to be doing this or that. You know, it could be confusing to them. But again, we've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to guide us. But we've got the Scripture too also, as was Billy Mitchell. He always says it's written all to us, but it's not all for us. But this is something that is for us. So anyway, let's look over here. You stay right where you're at. I'm going to look at the historical perspective, just a couple of verses of Melchizedek. Here I say that, and I'm flipping over in Isaiah, and I need to be over in Genesis. And then we'll look at the prophetic, or the prophecy of Melchizedek, and there he is over in Psalms. David even mentions Melchizedek. I didn't know that until I was studying. And then we'll look at, the priesthood or the priestly line of Melchizedek. And we'll see that over in Hebrews where we're at, and that's where we'll spend our time. But again, Jesus is our high priest now, and he fulfilled the priesthood. If I can find out where I was at, here I am. I got it right here. Here I actually did mark it right there, and I didn't think I did in another book. So just a couple verses here, and this is a historical perspective of Melchizedek. Melchizedek blesses Abraham. That's over in Genesis chapter 14. If you just want to make a note, you can always go back there and look, but for sake of time. And then recall, this is right after Abraham rescues Lot. So he's already went down, rescued Lot, and brought him out. And on the way back, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Shelomar, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale, or if you look there, what it's referring to would be like it's a valley is what he's talking about. So he met him in a valley, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And as we look there and see, Melchizedek meets Abram. That's the first time verse mentioned that we see of Melchizedek here in the Scripture. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. So you said, well, there's his first appearance, and he meets Abraham in the valley after Abraham has a great victory. He blesses him. But we also notice, too, as we look, and it shows the dignity of Christ, or type of Christ, the dignity we see in Melchizedek of who he was, and we'll get into that more in chapter 7, Abraham pays tithes to him. And so we see Abraham being the man he was. At the same time, he must have knew or recognized the order or the dignity of Melchizedek. Now let's stay right where you're at, or just keep. Got another verse, Psalms. We'll see what David says about him in 110, then we'll get over there in the New Testament there. I stuck something in there, messed me up. Here we go. Psalm 110, here we go. All right, just a verse here too. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse before that, and this is in Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. So the priesthood, or the order, which David is talking about here. In other words, the Lord has dominion over all kingdoms. And David here refers to the priesthood, or the order after Melchizedek. In other words, that's a priestly line, a godly line, the dignity, again, of Jesus Christ. And David's talking about that through Melchizedek here. And then David would have known about Abraham's meeting of Melchizedek years and years earlier. So you think about that. So here's a priest who's still being mentioned in Psalms, as well as over in Genesis. And one last place here, back to Hebrews, and we'll just stay there for most of the rest of the time. Chapter 7, verse 1, so keep that in mind. Melchizedek showed up with Abraham. David already mentioned Melchizedek as well, especially in the priestly line of our Lord and Savior being over the kingdoms, over the kings, and after the order of Melchizedek as far as a priestly lineage. He said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, and I'm in Hebrews, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. He gave him tithes, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made his like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And see, that's where I go back to, especially I remember in that Sunday school class, and that Sunday school teacher, Paulette Cruz was her name. And I still remember today when she'd talk about that, and I'd always think, well, she'd read that, and even as a boy, I'd think, now, who was this Melchizedek? And he shows up in Genesis, he shows up in Psalms, he shows up now in Hebrews, and when you read about it in Hebrews, as it's written here, you can see that he's a continual, has no beginning of days, has no end. He just shows up on the scene, and he's always present. And so as you look at that, and what I mean by being always present, he's there when he needs to be. You know, you think about the Holy Spirit of God. And so I think about with Melchizedek, in this case, is he's in the Old Testament, he's in the New Testament, and as we're told here in Hebrews, it's a priestly order, and after the Levitical priesthood. But at the same time, he just calls him king of righteousness, king of Salem, and he is king of peace. So we think about his righteousness, and as we look and sit about at the priest continually, and in verse number 4, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch, now that's Paul, they're saying, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. So even Abraham tithed unto him. And verily they And verily they are that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he, whose descent is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So Melchizedek, who was this man? Who was the Hebrews, and Hebrews here is he writing about? And as we go here and look, and just I jotted down a few things, because again, it's always, it's not been a puzzle because it's right here in the scripture, but it's always just fascinated me the way God sends somebody along our way sometimes to be a witness to us. And of course, here in scripture, it's Melchizedek to Abraham, and written down and jotted down for us to have as a historical record. But Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Of course, we talked about his dignity already. If you look in verse number 1, he's a king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, and who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. You know, he's happened to be on that road that Abraham was coming back from. Abraham knew who he was, too. You think about that when he saw him. And that always, especially, I remember reading this again, I thought, how would Abraham have known him? But he did. He recognized him. He knew who he was. And I thought, well, there's nowhere else in the scripture, though, where it says anywhere before that Melchizedek was a priest and that Abraham knew him, or he was going to meet him, or he blessed him before he went, or he went along his way. But when they met, he recognized him. And then Abraham gave him a tenth of what he'd taken in the spoils. So you think about that. So he's a king and a priest, all in the same person. So Melchizedek, you think about it as we look there and see, so who was this man? And in verse number 2, as we mentioned, Abraham gave a tenth part of all, and it kind of explains to us who he was, or who he is. I'm not going to say was, because he still is. So the first being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. You think about that, who Melchizedek is. And as we look and see, so wait, I've heard it taught before, and some say, well, it was an angel that showed up. It was an angel. And others say, well, it was the incarnate Christ. And it was a man, or it appeared to be a man, because Abraham, and the others would have saw him and would have, conversed with him and gave him tithes. So he had to have a way to take it with him. You know, those things just always went through my mind. I thought, was he by himself? Did say he had a whole train of people with him? Did he have other camels or horses or whatever that carried the tithe away? You know, what happened? Did he just, you know, ride off over the hill and in the sunset and disappear? You know, all those things. And it's just not things for us to know. It's not important for us to know. It would have been written down somewhere if it was. What's important for us to understand, I think, and know, is that Melchizedek is after the royal priesthood. And is incarnate Christ. A lot of times I've heard that taught and preached over the years. And not just an angel, but met Abraham along the way. And that's why he gave him tithes. And you notice when we were reading previously as well, even Levi, who was in the priesthood, of course, and the priest, even through Abraham, would have given tithes back through his lineage, of course, to Melchizedek. In other words, they all paid tithes to him. He's like the royal priesthood. And so as we look and see, you wonder at the times when that occurred, how did Abraham recognize him? And these are all questions that I just put out there because, you know, I don't know, but he did. He knew who he was when he saw him. So Melchizedek is a type of Christ in dignity is kind of what I jotted down. And they knew who he was when they met him. And next we'll look in Hebrews chapter 7, if you're still there, verses number 26 and 27. And that kind of, I guess, answers what I was just talking about. I kind of got ahead of myself. But it says, "For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first of his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son," talking about Jesus Christ here, "who is consecrated forevermore." So as you begin to read, and you read the first part of the Hebrews 7, and you read the end, you think, start thinking, well, is this Melchizedek? Was that Christ in the Old Testament? I mean, what I'm saying, you say, oh, you said it. But what I mean is, was that an incarnate in appearing? Who was that man, Melchizedek? Because as we look and see, Melchizedek evidently has no beginning or no end either, according to the Scripture. Anyway, I just put that out there to think, who was this man? He was in human form because they had to see him and converse with him, and they had to pay tithes to him. And anyway, I throw that out there because it always makes me want to stop and just say, who was he? And go back through Scripture sometime and look and see. He's not mentioned that often. Like I said, I remember even being in Sunday school, and his name would come up, and my head would always pop up because I'd always think that Melchizedek, he shows up about two or three times, and that's it. But if you read here in chapter 7, you wonder and then look before, you say, well, was that Christ? But in the Old Testament, in Melchizedek, an incarnate Christ, was it an angel? Some would say, well, that was one of the angels that came down and appeared as Melchizedek. I'd say, well, now wait a second then. Why would they have given him tithes? But anyway, that's just... You can go on and discuss that. I've heard that discussed over the years, back and forth, and people with different opinions on who he was. But whoever he was, Abraham knew him when he saw him. Met him coming down the road. And he offered him and gave him tithes. And as we look here too, and it says, "For such a high priest became us." And in other words, as he describes or compares Melchizedek to Christ in the New Testament, our high priest. Died on the cross for our sins. And so you go back and you look and you wonder, who was this Melchizedek? Anyway, I'll move on. And there's, for the sake of time, but you can go over and read in Isaiah. And there's a mention over in, I think it's chapter 53, talking about a high priest of a high priest. If you go over there and look. And somehow they were able to recognize him or knew that when they saw him. Anyway, these are all these things I remember... I had a Sunday school teacher growing up, and she used to say, she'd say, well, now, boys and girls, see, when you get to heaven, all these questions will be answered. And then I thought, well, I guess once you get there, though, you won't be worried about all these questions anymore. You won't be thinking about them. That's right. But I guess here that, you know, it's like a, not a mystery because it's there, but, you know, still you wonder, who was this guy? Who was this man? Was he an angel? They recognized him, though. But here I'm going on and on about that. I know, but you can tell over the years that Melchizedek has just really, really been, I guess, a source of study for me, trying to figure out how they know him. But they did. And anyway, like I said, let me move on. Duration of his priesthood. As we look, so how long did his priesthood last? And we mentioned that already. You know, we find him over in Genesis. David mentions him in Psalms. And then we get over in Hebrews, and Paul mentions him again. And so, yeah, that's right. And so duration of the priesthood, Genesis emphasizes the genealogy, but there's never a mention of life or death. He just lives on. And so that's another thing about, you look at Melchizedek, he continually lives on. And so you think, well, that's the duration of his priesthood. What would be the dimensions of his priesthood? In other words, you think about, well, was he in Jerusalem only? Was it over a certain area of land? Was he over heavens and the earth? What was the dimension of his priesthood? So I went back and I said, well, I can try to look and see what I can find. And as I looked, I said, well, he received tithes from Abraham and Lot. And it said in the Old Testament he got a tenth, at least from them, as he met them. And in the New Testament, it says, talking about how he prospered, and Melchizedek had. And then in As you go through chapter 7, you'll see as he compares, Jesus is even much more than he was. And you think, well, if Abraham and Lot both gave him tithes, and then he still continues through the Old Testament and New Testament, and you begin to look, so what's the dimension of his priesthood? Well, it's everywhere then. And as you look, Melchizedek, the type of Christ, is dignity of who he was. And then it also shows duration of his priesthood. And then the dimension of his priesthood would be everywhere. Be heaven and earth. And in Melchizedek, as we see that, and especially get over into the New Testament, and again, Jesus was much more. And when you look at Melchizedek and what he was and mentioned here, and I think that's why, as you see at the end of chapter 7, it begins to talk more about the Son, or Jesus Christ, and comparing for such a high priest became us, who is holy, and etc., as it goes through there. I won't read those again, verses 27, verses 28. But then last but not least, you talk about the dispensing of his priesthood. The only type of one that is greater than he, now make note of this, is Jesus Christ. Because he's willing to bless Abraham, how much more Christ is willing to bless us and save sinners. So Melchizedek met him on the way. He's willing to bless Abraham, and don't forget, Lot was with him as well, to bless them. But how much more willing is Christ a blessing to us, or for us, and that he died on the cross for us, to save us from sin. And as you look at Melchizedek, and the high priest of high priests, as we look here and study, then what's Christ then? Even more so than Melchizedek. And as you look in Hebrews, in chapter 7, the Jews, again, as we mentioned, were in danger of falling back into Judaism. And again, and we mentioned at the beginning, as you look through those chapters, Paul's trying to give them a warning, or I guess guidance, some respect, and talking about Christ as their high priest and the danger of unbelief. So he goes back and brings up a person from the Old Testament who they would know and who still they would consider a priestly order, so to speak, and in following or in worship. But to realize that there's one higher than Melchizedek, because they would have recognized that, again, through the Old Testament. You know, we've always said before, the Jews need a sign, need to be shown. I always think about, every time I think about that, it was always Peter who took a group with him to see Cornelius. And that's how I always try to remember that. He didn't go by himself. He took two or three with him as witnesses as he went down to Cornelius' house. He was a Gentile. And so he took witnesses with him. That way, if something occurred or if the Lord worked in Cornelius' house and Gentile's house, he had others with him. And it wouldn't be just his word. And I think as we mentioned here in Hebrews, Melchizedek is brought out and pointed out to the Jews here, and also to that he's speaking to, but also to all of us that are saved, about this priestly order and who he was. And he was really has no beginning, he really has no end. And he blessed Abraham. And again, he's brought up here as a king of Salem, a priest of the Most High God. And still, Christ is even higher than him. And I think that's brought out at the end of Hebrews. So as with the dispensing of his priesthood, the dimension of his priesthood never ends. Duration of his priesthood, again, the Genesis emphasizes genealogy. And of course, that's where Melchizedek appears as well. If you think about Genesis, it gives the genealogy of the Jewish people. But Melchizedek, there's never a mention of where he was born, his life that he lived, or death. And then he just lives on. As we think, as you read that, that's what you take from that. And also Melchizedek's type of Christ and the dignity and who he was. And last but not least here, we'll read the end here of chapter 7. And that'll be wrap us up for today. Said, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. And what I want to get to was first part of chapter 8, because then it goes into Christ as our high priest. So if you look there, and I guess it was the last Sunday, Sunday before last, who was that? Might a pastor mentioned, someone mentioned about, you know, we have breaks in the Bible, not a break, but with chapters, chapter 7, chapter 8, whatever, you know, goes along. And sometimes, you know, we did that, I guess, for, maybe they did when they, you know, put it in the English language for ease of translation or for us to read and to be able to find our places. But as we look here and go from 28 to chapter 8, see how the flow would be, because in chapter 8, verse 1, and we'll finish chapter 28 again, or verse 28, said, Son, who is consecrated forevermore, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. So he started out with Melchizedek, which to the Jews at that time would have been someone they would have recognized from the Old Testament who met Abraham. That was even beforehand. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if we were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle for, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. But how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know thee the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, he saith, it's verse number 13, and we're finished up here, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And that's finishing up Hebrews chapter 7 and chapter 8 as well. But in chapter 8, the new covenant, Christ the high priest. But going back and comparing him to something that the Jewish people would have known as Melchizedek, a man along the way, and of course we say that a man, that's the way we mentioned, but the incarnate Christ met him along the way. He offered tithes to him, but yet he blessed him, and he was a high priest of high priests. Anyway, I know it seemed like I chased rabbits this morning. Thank you for your attention. Some of that is always through the years. And again, ever since I remember hearing about him in Sunday school, Melchizedek's always been one where, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you take your Bible out or concordance or something and try to run a reference on a phrase or a person. I've done that on Melchizedek. About any time I ever find anything new, I'll do that. And, you know, when computer came out and these programs you can use, I'd do the same thing. You know what I found? Everything's in the Bible anyway. And so everything that you want to know about Melchizedek's already there. And so I guess I'm always trying to, you know, I've always been one of these puzzle hunters, so to speak, you know, trying to solve a puzzle or figure something out. And I guess I think I can dig around in there and find something that nobody else has seen or something about Melchizedek, but we're told all in Genesis, a little bit of mention in Psalms from David, just briefly. And then, of course, over in Hebrews, Paul is trying to say, all right, you know who Melchizedek is. You know who he was or you know who he is. This Christ is even greater. So don't fall back under that Jewish law. You've got one greater. So, all right, you got time to visit.